Any apologies?
Back to the topic.
Willis is our last RTS before another phone. So I'd like to take this opportunity to wish you all a very best for Christmas and a new year. Some just some travel remarks. Many members have experienced some very heavy and prolonged rain over the past weekend, and as a consequence, there were quite a number of flooding issues in the South Down and Newry area. DFI saw assistance from council in delivering sandbags to homes, road closure signs, and homes to the affected roads. The council was able to supply a number of personnel to assist, and they worked along with the department's infrastructure from Saturday morning to the Irish until Sunday morning. I'd like to thank our staff for helping out, and this way, June 1 must have been a very worrying time for householders and business people in the affected areas. Probably of your home and anything is a very stressful event, but just before Christmas, definitely has for the stress and worry. So, I'd like to commend our staff for the help that they get to the roots of us. Any conflicts of interest? Anyone with being the action sheet? If you've all got a copy of the agenda or in your minipod, just get through it for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, and page 7. Those by Councillor Michael Long, seconded by Councillor Jeremy Corn. Are there issues
arising from it? No,
Item number 4, neighbourhood services project update. Who's taking that one?
I do, Chair. Yeah, thank you, Chair. Members, the purpose of this is to provide you with an update in relation to the Neighbourhood Services Project. You'll be aware that we have prioritised this as of the Council's a major transformation exercise moving forward. But it's also to advise you of a date of the inaugural meeting of the elected member-led Neighbourhood Services Working Group. What I would say, Chair, is that the progress of the project is reporting as amber at the moment. Really, it's not progressing as planned, simply because we have yet to secure a project management resource, which we previously identified as being critical to this project happening. But what I can say, despite the amber status, there are things that have been progressed, and maybe I can just quickly run through those. As I say, we have made some progress in relation to securing that resource. Interviews were carried out 2 weeks ago, and we have made a letter of offer, so I'd be hopeful that we'll be able to secure somebody around the new year, which allows really to put some focused effort into that project. We have also held a number of discussions with neighbouring councils who have initiated and implemented similar changes. So we are hoping to organise a number of benchmarking visits for local councils here, really to learn the lessons and feed that back to you. We have held a series of briefings with employees as well as initial discussions with the trade unions on this matter. You'll recall that members did prioritise staff engagement as being one of the things they wanted officers to consider moving forward. We are looking at possibly bringing in some external technical assistance really to help us to design out the service, particularly from an IT modernisation perspective. Chair, maybe just actually just to note that element of the report, but maybe also agree to the recommendation of the inaugural meeting of the working group be scheduled for the 30th of January 2019. We provisionally put that into the master drive, so that is acceptable to all.
On to planning issues, 5, 6, and 7. Andy, it's all in your capable hands now.
Just
Chair, the reports, the user reports are before you. I'm happy to take any questions members may have. Just one thing that I would mention is that our new scheme of delegation and operating procedure kicked off last week, so some of you may have been engaged in making requests for calling. So we're in, we have a meeting committee tomorrow, but just to remind members that the second list issued on Monday of this week with the latest round of recommendations, and that will continue on a weekly basis. But just to make the point that if councillors are asked to request a call-in, then they send those emails directly to Democratic Services. We have had a few teething problems, and that was the main one, that the emails were heading in the wrong direction. But just to make the point that Democratic Services is the focal point of all of this. Not wishing to create too much of a problem, but... So if there's any questions on the monthly report, I'll come in to take those.
Well, the emails won't head to the charter program, all right then. Sorry,
this juncture I'd often like to thank you and your staff for all the hard work you've done during the year and for your help and professionalism, which is very much appreciated. Just want to remind me, first of all, in this case my concerns with the call out protest. I may be accused of being negative and pessimistic, but I'm just worried at this stage this is going to work. But in relation to the call out procedure, just in relation, I'd like to thank your staff though for preparing the sheets every week. You know, would it be possible to have something similar to the public decisions made, that for example, call out the top name, address of applicant, and numbers, etc., which would probably, you know, would make it a bit easier than that school, but those are other staff in the first class, so I can commend them too. I'm just maybe that could be a suggestion from tonight's meeting, that maybe they can have something like talent decisions or talent applications on the sheet somewhere with rex number, name, address of applicant, and where it is.
No. I'm not sure if you're partial on the other wrong.
I don't have them, but have those. Thanks very much.
Maybe just ask on the I noticed that just recently in the reports the number of line applications in the system has swung upwards. Over that there for 12 months or more swung upwards as well. Also the number of line applications per county officer has also swung upwards. So I'm just wondering, is a common problem that we get the situation back on track again? The trend seems to be going slightly in the wrong direction.
In terms of the new scheme delegation, the names of the applicants aren't on the list. Is there any reason for that, or could the names be placed on the applications?
This has been raised after the first list appeared, and we had gone back to some of the councillors who had raised the question, and the template that we're using is pretty consistent with other council districts that apply this sort of procedure, and that kind of information is not usually included. With all of the concerns around data protection and those issues, we're probably erring on the side of caution. If there's no need to publish that kind of data, then we shouldn't put it in, because it's available in other formats. And because of the inadequacies of the computer system that we currently have in planning, those lists have to be produced manually. And I'm mindful that there's an effort involved in producing those lists, and it falls to our admin people to do it. So even inserting names and addresses of applicants is a further task that they have to do. And it links into Councillor Clay's point about the right application heading in the wrong direction, and just at the moment they are. Suffer is not the right word to use, but we do struggle sometimes with maternity leave, especially in the department, and that impacts on our ability to maintain with the staffing levels. We have also lost a couple of staff to other authorities, and we're in the process of replacing them, and that takes time, and it impacts on performance. And it has to be said, we have been devoting a considerable amount of time to some very major applications, and unfortunately, the resources get spread
everybody getting on board. It's just in regards to, there's some people at the top who have applications in the system. They were in agreement there should have been a media hatch. Now, forgive me, you mentioned there was a media hatch. I'm not aware of it. If there hasn't been, I think you should do some sort of to make applicants aware. I know we've done workshops for the agents and architects. But just for general applicants in the public, I think it's important we bring people along. And on the website, I found it quite difficult to find the delegate list, and we're pretty experienced on that format. There's maybe a need to be in a more common sort of position, and again, to allow easy access, because I think that's crucial to this.
We take on board the points. It's true we haven't had a media launch. We didn't think that it was a very exciting subject, but we certainly it's going to be something that, in terms of the website design and that. I wasn't aware that it was difficult to find, but we will certainly look at that and see if we can look at the positioning of it and what we can do in terms of publicizing the new relations.
Okay, we'll continue to move on. I'm going to have a proposal then for 5, 6, and 7. Proposal in the seconder. Either 5, 6, and 7 planning issues. On to item number 8, facilities management and maintenance. Proposed extension to 1.7. Kevin, that's over to you.
Yes, Chair. The council does have an additional plan approval from us to move into the next part of 1.7, and that was approved back in 1983, which had a layout showing the graceful area and the roofing as well into the cemetery. In August this year, I brought up a report to yourselves for approval, which you did approve. And the substance from that was showing that we were considering a change to the layout, of the grave so to make it a little bit more uniform. And secondly, in relation to the road layout, the current road layout within the cemetery doesn't really allow two-way traffic in and out. So the proposal was to allow two-way traffic and was to allow an element of parking on site. As the cemetery gets bigger, then people who visit the cemetery are further to walk, and it was to give the access to people to get their vehicles into the cemetery, and then they could go to the family graves. So you did approve that amended plan. If we want to progress with that, we need to get plan approval for the changes. So we met with the planning officers to look at what we were proposing. And there are a number of issues came out of that which had led us to come back to you about the revised layout. And the main changes to the revised layout is that we're going to stick with the original layout of the flats, because if we decided to change that, then that would have to be approved by the planning service, and that might even on the process and actually getting approval and moving forward. There is a need to move forward with this project as soon as possible. So there's more merit in having this approved quickly, as opposed to getting the exact layout that we would want. And the second element to it is in the plan that we provided with you in August, it had referred to a small parking area at the top of the hill. The planning service finds that content with that, and they'll prefer a different layout. So the layout that there seems to be more agreeable to them is at the top of the hill going down into the extension. We will widen the roadway so to make it a two-way roadway so that traffic can pass there. But it will also give us the capacity to have a lay by to the side, which will allow a number of cars to park there as well. So in the report, Appendix 1 shows the plan that we originally approved in August this year. And Appendix 2 shows the revised plan that we're putting to you today for your consideration and hopefully approval. And we would then move forward with a plan application to agree the second plan that we're putting before you today.
Thank you, Dylan.
Thank you, Dan, for that. Yeah, I had no problem proposing the new proposal that's before us. And I had a few concerns that I went up with there, but I spoke early on, Kevin, and again, now you're in the late there, so I'm content that it meets the needs of the government area.
Right.
Thank you, Chair. Just to say, I mean, we've been through this, I'm happy with all the markets being put on this, and it's all about making life easier for those in most difficult situations, so happy to sign the recommendation. Thank you.
Sorry, you want to...
I just want to advocate support for the proposal that, you know, as I said, there's a real lot of partnership with people visiting and attending to this, so welcome to the Chair.
Does it have a proposal signed to the resident? Mm-hmm. Is that all right? On to item number 9, these are waste management issues. HRC workshop proposals. Johnny?
Yes, Chair, thank you. Members will be aware that at the last meeting of the committee, we presented, I suppose, the guiding principles was to support finalising a review of our household recycling centres. Chair, what we would like to do with the committee's approval is to schedule a workshop for early January for all elected members of the council to attend, so we can actually submit the final report and the recommendations contained therein to allow, I suppose, all elected reps to consider what the implications might be and, I suppose, give us some political direction on the way forward. We may be jumping to the home chair and put into the master diary provisional date of Monday the 7th of January, but that was just to get a timetable in advance of the council meeting, so that, of course, this can be approved in the season.
Thanks so much, Chair. I know we've got a similar role early on. I've seen in the news today that England and Wales are in a whole sea change of the government invested in changing waste management and disposal strategies, but I think it is a very important service that we're providing, and it's key important that all our councillors do come along and give a bit more knowledge about operations at the household recycling centres. So I'd only be happy to propose that we go ahead with the workshop as planned.
Sorry, I propose you have a second.
Yes,
sir.
Thanks. I'll have the second. I was just wondering, just prior to our workshop, would be a brief paper maybe just outlining any proposed changes. Ah, okay, that's good. So it gives us an idea to think about things prior to coming to the workshop. Yeah, that's good. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, Chair, just a quick comment. That's the purpose of hosting the workshop so early on in January, so if there's any decisions that members recommend, we can then feed any financial issues into the late selling process.
We'll have a proposal second there, can I get that?
Mm-hmm.
Item number 10, cost of play coming, Johnny, that's you again.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. This is just for noting, there was a request from elected members just to give a briefing around the cost of play cooking to the council. So the information is contained in the report. What I would say, Chair, is that we as officers are currently liaising with a number of agencies, including our neighbouring councils and the IIA, to try and get a much more strategic and coordinated approach to this. But maybe just in terms of some high-level figures, in the 8 months of this financial year to date, we estimate that it has cost the council upwards of £60,000 in terms of the removal of the flight cap weight, and that is reflected over just over 300 occurrences. If that trend continues, we are looking at approximately £90,000 that will cost the council by the end of this financial year. So those are key messages, Chair. It's not insignificant, and there are major implications for this organisation and indeed how we work with others. I suppose ultimately what we'd like to do in terms of the recommendations is you to give us approval to work up a system to record and actually better monitor the incidence of flight tipping, and also to give us a mandate to work with neighbouring councils and indeed with other agencies such as the NIEA to actually support a resolution to us. Sorry, Chair, another direction.
Sorry, just to clarify, absolutely cost to them, but some of those costs are borne by NIEA depending on the size and quality of the population.
Okay. So we have a proposal and a second for that report there?
Yes,
and sorry. Item number 11, my dog training. Sorry, Johnny, you're closing your hand anyway.
Yes, sir, thank you. Again, I know this is an issue which is close to members' heart and particularly amongst our citizens. Really, the purpose of this report is to provide you with a draft strategy to really begin to address dog fouling in our district. I mean, there's no point in me rehearsing about how much of an issue this is. What we're proposing, Chair, is really that there are four elements to the proposed strategy. One, I suppose, is to really raise awareness that this is really what the council's intending to do, and they've done that. We've had a media launch and PR around that. One is really then working with our colleagues in terms of the licensing of dogs, that at each point where a dog is licensed, the licensee is provided with details around responsible dog ownership. Third, then, I suppose, is to really underpin and support responsible dog ownership to communications moving forward. And then, I suppose, that as a last resort, is really use the council's powers in relation to enforcement to bring that message home where that is appropriate. What I would say, Chair, in respect to enforcement, there's already a great procedure to do that. We're not proposing to bring forward any additional dog control notices at this time, but I suppose the council reserves the right to do that moving forward. Chair, happy to take any comments or questions. The only thing we'd like to highlight to you is that we're also taking an additional £20,000 in the raise process to support the whole communications and raising the full awareness across our district. And if we have members' agreement to that, we would really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Chair. I do welcome Ms. Tibber for a while back, myself and Councillor Walker, we did ask officers to go away and prefer and devise a paper on dog fouling. And today we'll have it here for ratification. It is a very important issue. And in fact, as councillors, I'm sure there's no doubt that we're getting contacted quite regularly on dog fouling and the issue of the mess with it. But I'm only too happy to propose that we do adopt the policy, but in relation to naming and shaming, I know, for example, if I was out on Saturday night and I could call short, I could discuss color, tell them by the place, would my name be in the ground recorder, you know, and I'm fine with it. Whereas if somebody that's the dog boy and do what it has to do, there's not consent, you know, and maybe naming and shaming would be enough, I would have to look at it as well, and maybe it would send out a short, sharp, shock message that will look tolerant and irresponsible dog owners. So that's just maybe my views, but maybe it's a couple of short terms or but maybe could council bylaws be looked at in that regard and check out. But I won't be happy to propose.
There's a couple of characters that have indicated, I think the majority have indicated, Andy lives in Edgard Valley.
I think you sort of preempted where I was going to ask them that they don't want to maybe bring in more dog control orders in. But as this sort of reading through regarding one point, and you have to take on down any pieces, and then I sort of began to think really, well, is there any merit in some of the parts where we have SRA, you know, looking at the path, like for example, I'm thinking of Castleman Park, which is sort of going to the other Pumpkins Hill, where it's sort of going to the other path, and those one. You know, is it worth, you know, the reading these protected orders and all there's home that's upon my culture of those. But you know, half the issue is, you know, there's a mechanism now for keeping dogs on leads, and they know that half the problem is sometimes never dogs are getting walked. The thing about it is the dog is on the lead, the owner is 20, 30, 40 yards ahead of that dog,
and then the dog was excellent on the path. The dog was over going in there to pick up, whereas there was a dog control over there that made sure the dog had to be kept on the lead, but it means therefore that the dog wanted to decide the dog when it excellent on the path and therefore wanted to pick it up. So again, I mean, it's very thrown together on reading that whole draft policy and fully magnet, but it is, it also does that just like Castleman Park Park, where runners, cyclists, families are very, very keen to go. It could be a seasonal thing as well. I know Port Rush, we have happy seasonal dog warriors on beaches, where dogs aren't allowed on the beaches at the time. Obviously, for that, so I'm sure I think that if the dogs were, if the control of the poor dogs on the ground there, or other such things, there's hundreds of acres of other parts of the park that the dogs can come up with that off the lead during the summer. But some of people are going, people biting, and every summer doesn't go past, if somebody doesn't get into trouble, with a dog biting somebody or biting a dog or something like that, that's my excellent, which is what this is about for me. So I thank you for involving the chat. Liz?
Yeah, no, that's my idea of work, but socially the issue I have is just in terms of enforcement. You know, one of the problems we have at the moment is that we don't have enough staff to actually try that out. So will there be any changes to that with the additional spend, or, you know, because we have it all in paper here, and, you know, it is a really good report, but I just think if we don't have the staff to actually carry that out, which we're back to square one.
In terms of pick up those issues, in terms of the locations for the door controller, we can maybe look at that if members are in agreement in terms of we can maybe increase the scope of those. What I would say is we will be continuing reviewing this. I mean, this is essentially a two-pronged strategy. One, in the first instance, around education and awareness, and then if we find the monitoring that that's not making a difference, and then as mentioned earlier, we reserve the right to move to the second stage, which is enforcement. That does raise issues around the capacity of the council to support that. But at that point, Chair, I'd like to come back and explore with members as to how we best do that.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I certainly agree with the strategy as was proposed here, plus any extra budget that's needed to deal with it. I do think that ultimately we have talked about this subject, and all councillors I know are contacted off and on about dog fouling issues. I think this council has got to get tough, and they seem to get tough. I mean, there are serial offenders out there who just don't seem to take any notice, and they just keep carrying on and on. I had one lady contacted me about serial offender, and she's threatened to video it, but I don't know, I'd like to put this later upon that, because it just seems that whenever you bring council, or if I was to speak to council, the dog warden was to go out, that they're never there for the time when the offence takes place. I don't know what the answer is to the rights of these serial offenders, as I say, that they're responsible for their books. But I don't think it'll be amazing for her to put her back above the park and another one, unfortunately, but
we haven't yet started recording dog DNA, so
it's just a back on Kessler Killings, queries from resources. We fully agree, resources is a challenge for a massive district, and it's to get as many enforcement officers as we could do if they agree with us. I think it's part of the neighbourhood services transformation project. That's when we start looking at the resources and utilise some of them in different ways of moving, so it's a great opportunity.
Are we on to move on? Do you have a problem?
Sorry, was you on?
Sure, I did. Just in regards to the location of the dog fouling, has there been a lot of kind of in regards to that? I'm thinking particularly in parks and that. Or is that going to be on the ticket as part of the strategy? Because we have to ensure that we have enough, in the area to make the public aware that dog fouling bags that we put in the black bin. That he probably needs to be aware of that also. just in regards to the market or the campaign, I think it would work well maybe looking at, you only have 3 meter banners, 3 meters by one. The length of bus that's on it on their properties with it, you know, it's a high profile banner. I think it'd be useful that, you know, our main parks and stuff like that really to get the message home, you know, that this is totally on the central. And then a bit with regards to, then that allows us to focus on the material banners. You know, and dedicate our officers to make sure we prosecute them, you know, because there's some people no matter what we do that they continue letting it all up, you know. So I think social media will be very useful as well in the rollout of the campaign. Just in regards to our own properties, I'm aware of the owner in the Bourndale Play Park and the Green Kickabout area. There's a lot of dog found in that, particularly the Kickabout area. There's no signage whatsoever on it. There's no enforcement in regards to it. And that's the only place that the kids have it. In the Castle Island Road, you know, so I think they need a target there and think about it. You know, they're just used as a dog talent.
Sure, just in relation to the audit of the dog events, you know, that's something that we have to form as part of the rollout of the strategy. I suppose that then links in reviewing the effectiveness of how we are doing in terms of implementing it. I welcome the suggestions on how best to communicate that out, so maybe I'll pick up a bit of kind of structure after the meeting. In terms of location signages, yes, that's going to be critical. It's going to be driven by available budget, but we will be looking at targeting where the incidents is occurring on spot.
Did we have a proposal in second of that before Carrie and Gareth Bishop? And
yes,
item number 12, serial use plastics.
The purpose of this report is to seek approval from the committee to support Lodge and North Downborough Council in a call for action by our larger supermarket retailers on single use plastics, as well as to agree to a number of local actions in support of the same issue. We have received correspondence, which is attached in the report, calling for a coordinated call amongst the councils here in relation to the single use of plastics by our larger supermarkets. The same correspondence is also seeking this council support to write to the UK Secretary of State for the Environment, really to consider that requirement be put into future legislation governing waste and recycling for producers and retailers of consumer products. But what, before we take any comments or questions here, what we say, just be consistent with the previous motion that was tabled through this committee on the 23rd of May this year. So in terms of moving this forward, we're recommending that members support the Arts and North Down for a council call for the action, and also authorise officials to write to those large supermarket community, the Secretary of State for the Environment, in support of Arts and North Down's motion. I'll be taking any comments, Chair, but
in regards to the members of the public, you're pushing an open door. People want to see action in regards to single-use plastics. So I think it's an opportunity now to raid the supermarkets in regards to that. I'd like to add to some supermarkets that make a spa and your spa, you know, they're pretty, there's large numbers in our area. You know, so I think it's important that they're included also. Just in regards to the motion that came before council, the single-use plastic, it's been about 6 months now, and there's been, I know there's a set up across the department working group to look at, because it's across so many various departments within the council. Just there to get a feedback on that, and it's probably resource issues there also. And I'm just conscious that I brought the motion and we're still using single-use plastic, you know, that's this one, you know, so.
Sorry, you want to just agree, I think
It's definitely it's a huge, a very emotional issue. There's a bloody trucks on this side of open door. Everybody's in a lot of agreement to support that something has to be done to protect the environment. You know, it's better starting with this now rather than later. But another angle maybe that we could look at is, as I remember as a young fan, French-homemade, of course, and the like of Coca-Cola, a lot of the drinks companies used to have a scheme where if you bought back a bottle, you got 2.5p for it. But maybe with the way that with that much plastic, you know, the plastic bottles and everything, maybe what should do is that the major companies should be looking at introducing, I say, a deposit scheme. It's 10p extra on the bottle and you get 10p to bring it back to a shop. You know, maybe that particular little plastic circulation, maybe good incentives to recycle. So maybe that also is in the next step. I know that there was motions in other councils in relation to that sort of scheme being adopted, but yeah, that would be a major factor into returns. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just in response to Councillor Clark, you're right, I haven't been just as quick as we would like to Councillor Clark, I apologise for that. What have we seen in changing resources and so on, I've meant that, but however we are moving forward now, we have joined in this discussion with the College of Family Health. There was a meeting last week through TAG, and there is funding there from central government through Sustainable NI. We're looking at a consistent approach to this type of project for all councils. So I think it's absolutely timely. We do hope that we can move this forward and really make some positive changes. In relation to Councillor Andrews, you're correct. The returns piece is one of the key focuses of governance going forward. And there's a consultation coming forward now to extend the producer responsibility, which means that those that produce these packets have to have a process or a scheme in place to take them back to be used as part of that. So this is coming as well from the top as well. So.
Did we have a proposal or something now? That was brilliant. Andy, you want in there, sir?
Please, sir. I don't know why.
Well, then. Question?
I just wanted to get 2 points. In the letter that we've been, I mean, what financial commitments or financial encouragements are we going to be adding to the supermarkets? Because that's really the only thing that's going to make any movement. Does that make sense? You know, they can change their habits. You know, these guys won't do it without that sort of encouragement. And also, this again, the problem as well, it's plastic isn't, you know, it's trapping the plastic, which is the issue. You know, it's not the use of plastic, so that it's actually how we trap the plastic. And just on, you know, said, you know, local actions, I mean, is there any scope as well? I noticed some of these rivers going to the sea, there seems to be a new movement for having collectors that can collect the litter, the plastic litter going before it gets to the sea. I'm just very mindful of Cranai River, the Manuri, the Shimna, Newcastle. I'm not sure what the one point river is, but I'm sure there is one. Ross Trevor, is there any scope for looking at that? And then the department for, as well as bins for trapping litter, also these river features for trapping litter. Thank you, sir.
In terms of the last point, sir, I don't know. I can find out and bring an answer back in relation to what we can do in our rivers. In terms of maybe the comment about no financial incentives, that's correct, sir, but I suppose don't underestimate the power of the political lobby. You know, when you have 11 councils working in sync, applying pressure, particularly to the legislators, which is proposed in this letter, that can give you an awful lot of positive outcomes. But I suppose what we're doing is we're using public power combined with a political lobby to really raise the issue in terms of the corporate and social responsibility of these large retailers. And I think it's commendable that the council is minded to do that.
So we'll have a
proposal
from
Mr.
Clark. Who seconded?
13, 14, 15 and 16 are for noting. And the officers just want to give an overview on any of them before we move on.
The only thing for
officers were asked to write to the permanent secretary in relation to Reed's bid. So we received the response there last week. You will note there's 60 other pages of interest of areas where they plan to spray next year. Unfortunately, at this stage, they were unable to confirm what the schedule of Reed's bid would be. So it's something again, the officers want to follow up on. And indeed, we would like to coordinate with our Reed's bid and their Reed's bid and perhaps other agencies' Reed's bid to try and get a more consistent approach to the district. That's what the officers will take forward. And as we get more information on when they plan to Reed's bid, we'll provide that information back.
All right,
okay.
So next, we read this one.
Can I just come in there now? We need a proposal for 13, 14, 15 and 8.
Okay.
And 16 is a historic action sheet. We need that in the hand information from that. Somebody even know what happened up? Can we move on?
No.
Proposal for that same three proposals, yeah? Proposed. All right, and thank you, how you found out for the
order.
I'm
not sure
that we haven't had. I'll be good. 17 and 18 are the respective items. There's an example in the paragraph 3 of part 1 of section 6 of the Development Act, NI 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council, holding that information and the public made by a resolution may be suited during these items of business. Can I have a proposal in a second for the code silently? Carry on. Right, thank you very much, councillors. On the proposal of Councillor Dermot Corrin, seconded by Councillor Clary Anders, it's agreed to note in committee items outlined in the R21 Joint Committee meetings of the 27th of September 2018. Item number 18, the proposal to provide facility for the recycling of matters. On the proposal of Councillor Harvey, seconded by Councillor Clark, it was agreed to approve the recommendation outlined in the Section 2 of the report to the 18th of December 2018, that the Council implement a matters recycling scheme within the household recycling centres, with four other recommendations listed at 2, 3, 4, and 5 also approved. And is that all you need for that?
Thank you very much.